Jeff Woods joins us once again. Woods, how you doing?
Great, Jason. How about you?
Doing very well. Today, I want to discuss kind of, single limb or, isolateral training workouts from legs, but then also upper body. And like when you're on the bench and you're doing the barbells, one arm instead of doing a bench press, what's the benefit?
Well, here's the thing. So anytime that you can isolate one side of your body and work it independent of the other, especially for the weak limb, Gregor, and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about arms or legs, typically every athlete has a dominant side. So in my case, for example, my right side is my dominant side. So I kick a soccer ball with my right foot, and I would punch or open a door or do whatever with my right hand. So consequently, I'm stronger on my right side. So there's probably, if I'm going to push dumbbells, there might be somewhere between 5 and 10% difference. If I'm on my back and doing a dumbbell chest press, I'd be able to max out 5% more on my right side. So if you're using dumbbells and isolating each limb through any exercise, you will be able to derive strength parity, forcing that weaker limb to work on its own without the compensation or the help from the strong side. So that's the value.
Can you ever make the two sides even, or is somebody always going to have a dominant side?
Well, I think you can, and it certainly takes a great deal of discipline. You know, when you're setting up and biomechanically, you know, whether you're doing a single leg squat or anything, you have to concentrate on the same range of motion, and you have to use progressive weight loads with any of the given exercises. And theoretically, we should be able to come close. The one thing I find for most people, it's their motor skill development, Gregor. They don't feel as confident through various patterns. They don't feel as comfortable or confident on their weaker side. So, you know, sometimes that can be the inhibiting factor. So it might not ever be perfect, but you can certainly make it close.
Okay. Let's get to like single limb or isolateral training, and how different is it from upper body to lower body?
Well, I think you've probably got a few more options with your upper body, and you know, it doesn't matter like whether you're going to do, you know, a rowing action for your back, for example. You can use, you know, cable systems for that in the gym. You can use, you know, kettlebells. You can use TRX straps, you can use tubing, anything that you could impose some sort of external load on your body. Like, resistance comes in many forms, and you can duplicate all of the basic strength training exercises, but just do them on one side of your body. And I often get this question a lot, Gregor. Guys ask me, well, should I, like if I'm doing an overhead shoulder press, for example, should I alternate the movement patterns, or should I do one side for 10 reps and then do the other side? What's going to be best to develop strength? Now, you know, looking at some research again, I think the best protocol to follow there would be to actually work each side through, you know, your 8, 10, or 12 repetitions. Work one side independent of the other. And not to say that working an alternating pattern is not good, but I think you'll derive greater strength benefits from working each side through a full range of motion through your desired reps, and then work the other side.
Now, let's get to, obviously we talked about the strength parity from left side to right side, and everybody's going to have a different dominant side. It doesn't matter who you are. You're always going to do that. And it becomes likely from just, task-oriented in what we do in everyday life. So I want to talk about kind of variance, right, when it comes to, like, from your bicep to your quadricep, and how you can, if by doing ISO, will you strengthen your left side to get that much closer, or do you eventually have to do more weight on the one side? Like, if we know our right side, I'm just going to use a number. Let's say you can take a 50-pound barbell on your right side and do it 10 times, but you can only do it 6 on your left side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's how I'd go about that. First of all, I think, you know, a prudent place to start for all our listeners is this. You should have some sort of evaluation. So you can do some strength testing, and we've talked about this before, to see what the difference might be, number one. Number two, we might do like a movement analysis to find out, you know, like, are you dysfunctional when you run, or do you have this excessive sort of rotational like turn in your upper body? Because that could be a sign of weakness. But then, like, doing actual girth measurements, Gregor. So, for example, like, you'd actually measure your right bicep versus your left bicep. And over my 30 years of experience, you know, I've seen some people that are very close, and there might be a 16th of an inch. But I've seen, you know, some men that have, like, as much as 2 or 2.5 inches difference from one bicep to the other, and as much as, like, 3 to 4 inches difference from one quadricep to the other. So, I mean, to me, when I see those numbers, there's a great deal of muscular weakness on one side of the body, or they're so very dominant on one side, they're not doing very much work when they do their tasks, like with that weak side. They let their stronger side dictate all of their movement patterns. So here's what I'd recommend. If you're going to take part in the isolateral training, obviously you want to try and progress the weight loads up, similar to that of your strong side, but try to work your weak side first. Because even if you fatigue through any given exercise, your dominant side, even from being a little bit tired from working the weaker side, will typically always pull through. And it's interesting. I looked at a few strength training blogs where they talked about this type of training, and a lot of professional strength specialists, you know, advise doing the strong side first. But I would advise against that, because the reason that most people have dysfunction from a strength perspective is because they have that dominant side strong already. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that you don't want to make the dysfunction worse. You want to gain at strength parity. So you want to improve the strength on the weaker side first. So it really doesn't make sense to work your strong side first in these scenarios.
It, because I think some people think that, oh, if you work it when it's fatigued, that's how it's going to strengthen. And in fact, that's not the case.
Well, I mean, it's a part of getting stronger, Gregor, but it's just that we don't want that weaker side to fall too far behind, that's for sure. This, you'll find this interesting, Gregor, too. Like, when we look at rehabbing, like a broken arm, for example, research shows that even if you are doing, like, bicep curls on the arm that is not broken, the arm that is broken that sits in a sling will get, a crossover effect of the strength training that you're doing on your healthy side. So even in rehabilitation, there's great value in doing this type of training for that reason.
Jeff Woods from Custom Fit joins us talking ISO training. Now, is there types of equipment that are best for this type of training?
Well, you know, Gregor, like, again, you know, it sort of makes it a little bit harder sometimes doing this type of training with a barbell, for example, like the big bar and having the weights on the end. You know, your best bet for a variety of movement would be dumbbells, obviously. And like we talked earlier in the segment, any tubes or bands, anything where that you can grab onto and control with one hand would be just a fine candidate to do this isolateral type strength training. Now, even for like your lower body, if you wanted to do some barbell training, like doing a Bulgarian split squat. So for any of our listeners, if they look that up online, you'll get some great recommendations and visuals on YouTube. But, you know, you're going to be in a linear stance with your lower body. So we can put, you know, 1 foot higher up on a bench and have 1 foot down on the ground, giving you that linear lunge type position, but we can load up the front leg a little bit more than the back leg, for example. So that would still sort of define our isolateral training because we're putting a little bit more emphasis on the support leg in front. So there's a few different ways to do it.
Now,
but go ahead.
Jeff, for people out there that your legs and stuff, like, you've got to get a good foundation on 2 feet before you should ever start with one. Like, it's not like any beginner should come out there and do ISO training right away. This should be something that after you've got a good solid base and foundation, then you can go to what's a little bit more advanced. Because I know a lot of hockey players now at younger ages, you know, 15, 16, 17, they're doing a lot of one-legged workouts, way more than they're ever doing two, because in the game of hockey, you're rarely on 2 feet at the same time.
Yeah, no, that makes good sense, Gregor. And I think, you know, with every single person, when they engage in strength training, you know, having that assessment done and assessing individual need would have some bearing on how you set up a program. Now, for a young athlete with good motor skill that you just described, that individual could probably be doing some isolateral training and isolating certain limbs, you know, right from the get-go. Now, if we're talking about a 50-year-old individual who's been sedentary, you know, on the back half of their life, they might have some problems with that. So the progression that you described where they're working off 2 feet first, that might be a more prudent move for sure.
Well, it's always good to catch up with you, man. Appreciate your insight. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Gregor. Take care, pal.